I'm Henry Kronqvist, and I'm the Dean of the Argus College of Business and Economics at Chapman University here in Southern California. And we're very thrilled and excited today to have another episode of our Campus to Career series.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tori Nguyen. I am the class of 2026, and I am your Argyros College of Business and Economics Senator. And here we are here with Alyssa. Let's kick it off with the first question, and she also may introduce herself. But Alyssa, I just wanted to say you're so successful and accomplished. Can you help our students or tell our students some advice about how you juggle a lot of things at the same time?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. Very excited to be here today and spend some time with the both of you. That's a big question. I don't know if I have any advice on juggling. I think it's something that I'm still trying to figure out as I go, to be frank. But for me, I think always jumping in and trying something new and maybe overloading my plate a little bit too much has always been something that I kind of naturally gravitated towards, even while at Chapman. And it's kind of served its own, I just kind of figured it out as I went. And if I had to drop the ball somewhere, I did. So I think trial by error would be the advice that I have. And if something that just doesn't quite feel right or keeps falling off of that to-do list, there could be a reason for it, and maybe that's something that you're just not gravitating towards and go into a different direction. But I'd say fill up your plate, try everything, especially while in school. And then the concept of a work-life balance, if you love what you're doing and you're really passionate about it, it's going to give you joy. It's going to give you a sense of fulfillment, and just lean towards that. And the things that are, not quite feeling right, then that's okay. Maybe that's kind of what you let go of next time.
So Alyssa, so you you came to Chapman and then you graduated with two degrees from Chapman, both the Argyros College and also from the Dodge College, which is about film and entertainment and media. And then you became a serial entrepreneur, and you also studied entrepreneurship in college. So, when and why did you decide to go down the entrepreneurial path?
I don't think there was a specific when and why moment that I could point to, but rather a series of events and influences that did start in my time at Chapman. So the Center of Entrepreneurship began when I was a student at Chapman with Professor Sudek, Professor Richard Sudek. And he brought in many different voices to come speak to us, entrepreneurs who had lifestyle businesses, super cool ones, like a surf company, which I think is still around today, Almond Surfboards. I think they're based out in Newport. But, and that guy walked in barefoot and just told us about how surfing was a passion. And he ended up starting the successful company that he's able to live his life the way that he wants to on his terms and runs his business. And then we had entrepreneurs who were venture-backed, which is a very different kind of prospect than a lifestyle business. But we had both comparisons. And we also had opportunities to pitch to a network of real investors. So I participated in one of these pitches. I went up with a made-up business idea. Of course, I had prepared in advance and, created a pitch and a slide deck and everything. And then afterwards, some of the angel investors came up to me and were asking me some very serious questions, wanting to invest in my made-up business or at least take the next step in conversation. And I, of course, told them, oh, no, this is just a school project. But we were out there. We had real world experience brought to us in the classroom and then opportunities that, we could further engage if it felt right to us, if it was something that we were interested in. And that was, just one example. Another class for me that really set the stage for my career was a class called Social Entrepreneurship, all about companies that give back. And again, it wasn't necessarily one specific moment, but there is a moment that I remember a very good friend of mine suggested, we're sitting down, picking our classes together. And he suggested, hey, you might like this. It's all about businesses that give back. That's kind of cool, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's very interesting. At the time, that was my first experience learning about a company that gives back. And ultimately, that class, again, was, the professor allowed us to, it was supposed to be a group project. And I asked her, can I just do it all on my own? Because I have this business idea that I kind of want to try or, maybe try out at least in the sense of this class format. And I also, for my second degree, which was in PR and ad, I did the same thing where instead of a group project, I proposed, can I make a marketing campaign or public relations campaign to go alongside this business plan that I'm doing for another class? And both professors said, go for it. Like, if you want to take on that workload, that's fine, you know, by all means. And that business plan that I wrote ended up becoming a company that I launched years later and actually set me on my path for what I'm doing today.
Thank you, Alyssa, so much for sharing. I'm so glad that Chapman classes in itself have helped you grow. We see many of that things here, and that's why we take classes and go to school for that specific type of education to guide you down that route. Speaking of passions, what kicked that passion off for you? I know you explained it a little bit, but maybe you can tell us about your company. What was the turning point in terms of your success? What was that job decision? You can explain further.
I guess in looking back at my career, I was always drawn to companies that are doing something unique or interesting. So my first job out of Chapman was a company called Buddy Media, which was later, while I was there, was acquired by Salesforce. And the technology has been since integrated into the Salesforce marketing cloud. But I learned about that opportunity, again, by being out attending a conference, meeting people, opportunity that I, you know, received through my network that I had built at Chapman. And the team there was just so passionate about what they were doing. So I could see their passion brought to the office day in and day out, and that translated to the rest of the team that was working for them. And I actually, at the time, I was already thinking about that, you know, college business plan that I wrote and PR plan that I wrote, and thinking, you know, how can I launch this? But started in this like social media marketing role in a startup, was part of this acquisition. I didn't love the corporate environment. It didn't feel right for me. And so I explored other opportunities. I was interviewing at other startups, and I decided, you know, what if I launched my own? And I revisited that, you know, old business plan that I wrote, updated it, changed it. And that ultimately became my first company, which was a backpack line that gave back to girls' education. It was called Hero, because you can't spell hero without her. That impact-driven mindset was something that I developed at my time at Chapman through that social entrepreneurship class and through engaging in that community, and really saw also, while it wasn't necessarily a social enterprise that I worked for in my first job, giving back to the community was a really big part of, you know, the ethos, the working environment, and also just that passion and that drive. And I ended up growing that company. I was a solo founder. For that company, I wanted it to be more of a lifestyle business. One of the examples that we learned about at Chapman, just by meeting other entrepreneurs who had started lifestyle companies. So it wasn't venture backed. I, you know, brought on a friend to help me design the actual backpacks, the products, learned everything I needed to learn about the technical side of fashion design through working, again, collaboratively with my friend, you know, sourcing fabrics, sourcing textiles, building the design itself. And actually, I did an internship in college where I did have a design role. But this was a whole different caliber of, you know, really taking it from start to finish. And so that backpack line was doing very well. But then I attended a climate conference. So I was growing the business. I was on the Forbes 30 under 30 list. I had many opportunities for new revenue streams. And I attend this climate conference, and everything changes for me. I learn about the impact of the materials that I was using, which were traditional synthetics, which are polyester and nylon. They're fossil fuel based. They're non-biodegradable. They pile up as textiles in our landfills and beyond our landfills, spilling out into the natural environment. And if you take a step back and look at the fashion industry overall, 70% of emissions come from raw materials, from the raw materials that we use, from the processing and making of the actual fabrics. And here I am using the most polluting materials that you can. And if you can take a step back and look at changing climate overall, those very communities of girls that I wanted to support and help give back to are the most impacted by our changing climate. And so I couldn't reconcile understanding and knowing the material footprint of what I was using while also trying to expand and grow this company. So I started looking for better materials. Instead of finding better materials, I found a co-founder. He has a nano engineering background and was working on what has become our current company, my current company, where I'm the COO and co-founder of Kintra Fibers. And it's a material science company that makes bio-based, biodegradable, recyclable polyester for the apparel industry. It's a polyester that we've created. It's completely different than the traditional polyester that is used today, which is fossil fuel based, non-biodegradable, highly polluting, but yet we use the exact same equipment as the traditional polyester to make our new and improved and innovative type of polyester.
You know, you're a very driven person, Elisa. That's 100% sure. Listen, after you graduated from Chapman, then you moved to the other coast. So you moved to New York City for a while, actually several years, and you were part of a startup Generator. Now, so we hear these terms, and maybe you can give a little bit of context and explanation to our students, you know, startup Generator, but perhaps more frequently we hear like accelerator or incubator. What is all of this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I think startup Generator is a unique term, so I'm not surprised that it's not often heard. The startup program that I join is called Startup Generator because they bring together individuals who have a passion about a specific problem that they want to solve, and they help them come together, find one another, and co-ideate solutions that are then stress tested throughout the course of the program to become ultimately a startup or a business that fills that market need should they discover in this process that there is in fact a problem or a market need that needs addressing. In my case, I actually love this concept so much of, you know, bringing people together that are equally passionate about a problem or at least committed to starting a business or interested in exploring that, that I applied to work for the program, thinking that my next step would be moving from running my impact-oriented startup, the Backpack Line, to investing in startups that are fixing all the problems that I was seeing in the supply chain. I got the job. And so I started in the role of kind of a program director, helping create the program that the founders would go through to stress test their ideas. And lo and behold, the person who is my co-founder joined the program looking for someone who had design, marketing, and other startup experience and background. And of course, we were obsessed by the same problems. The fossil fuel-based synthetics are the most commonly used fiber. The fact that they're non-biodegradable, not only does that lead to textile waste, it's basically like wearing a plastic bottle. So think about everything that you know and probably don't love about plastic bottles. It's the same stuff in your wardrobe. So every time you wash these clothes, millions of tiny fibrous plastics shed at the equivalence of 50 billion plastic bottles every single year. So if you imagine that volume in tiny fibrous plastic form, those get out into the environment every single year. And that's why biodegradability is so important, is to be able to be nature aligned, specifically compostable, so that in that oxygen rich environment of a wastewater treatment facility or the sludge that's treated after the process goes through, materials can actually naturally, safely biodegrade in those environments. So these are just some of the problems that I was learning about as a designer, looking for better materials. And my co-founder was there taking a science-based approach to solving them. So we ended up, you know, coming together. And I still remember the day that I had to tell the team, instead of working for you, could I join the program? And one of them handed the other like a $10 bill and was like, I told you so, I told you she'd be a founder. And so I joined my co-founder to bring the solution to other designers, both small designers, independent designers like I was, and large companies to be able to scale this.
Thank you so much for sharing, Elisa. You're so well spoken, and it seems to be that you're very passionate about the subject and your job in itself, especially because it makes so much sense that you liked social entrepreneurship because it completely is what you do. If you had one piece of advice on how to get started on a job or a passion, what would you tell a student to do first? Should they do an internship? Should they just hop right in it? Is research important? Let us know.
It's a great question. I think all of the approaches you just mentioned can work. For me, I was always a hop right in it kind of person. So the reason I moved across the country to New York was I was applying to a few different positions in Los Angeles, looking at opportunities there. And then I just really, you know, felt drawn to this company that ended up being my first job out of college, Buddy Media. You know, I had a great phone interview with them, but then they said, oh, if you're not in New York, call us if you're ever here. I called them 1 week later and I said, when can I come in for my in-person interview? And they were like, what? But, you know, it worked out. And I had done a summer internship in New York previously, which was in design. I was a design department of St. John Knits. I had applied to their California office in their sales marketing program. And when they called to give me the job offer for that summer internship, I actually turned it down because I was wanting to move to New York and see what living there could be like. And they said, oh, well, we have a design department there. Why don't we put you in touch? I didn't have, at the time, I didn't have any knowledge of design and have any design experience whatsoever. You know, I was a PR and marketing student and, you know, business. So I didn't know, like, what could I possibly contribute, but I wanted to be in New York. So I said, yes. I had a phone interview with them and, you know, they said there's a lot of admin oriented task work that's very needed. In fact, they do a lot of, you know, planning together with the sales team and production. So they thought my skill set could definitely translate and why don't I come on over? And so I did. And, you know, that internship, of course, was a great experience for everything that happened thereafter, which was, you know, this kind of design oriented career approach that I ended up taking. So yeah, I guess I've always been kind of a jump right in type of a person, because what's the worst that can happen? You'll find out you're not good at it and then you'll do something else, but at least you'll know. You'll never know if you didn't try.
You know, talking about what you do right now, is your current title is COO, so Chief Operating Officer. So maybe telling our students and our listeners, what does that entail in a startup? Because I think it's easier perhaps for most people to understand CFO, Chief Financial Officer, or CMO, Chief Marketing Officer. So COO has to do with operations. People understand supply chain, but it's a lot more than that, I guess. So maybe you can shed some light on that.
Sure. Well, I think in a startup, no matter your title, you're doing a little bit of absolutely everything, especially in the early days. So I think as a COO, you know, when my co-founder and I came together, he has this great vision and he knows how to actualize it through the science. Whereas for me, I come with the design background. I come with the knowledge of, you know, what you're looking for as a brand partner. And I come with the kind of approach that has that more business-oriented lens. So naturally for us, you know, CEO is vision. COO is how can I help actualize this vision? And for the two of us, it was a very natural fit for us to join forces in this capacity together. But frankly, you know, for a long time, at first it was just the two of us. So we're both doing a little bit of everything. And then it was the two of us. I raised our first $2 million, our seed round in 2020, despite the pandemic, despite at the time all the warnings that, you know, no one's going to get funded. We got our first round completed and done. And then we only made one hire, and she was a very technical position. So between her and my co-founder, we not only built a lab, but we actually got the material out of the lab and onto commercial equipment, producing samples that I shared with some of the leading brands in the world and connected them and locked them in as partners to help us take our technology to the next level. So that we did, just the three of us. So as I'm sharing that, you know, it was a team effort across the board, you know, on all things business oriented and related. And now we're a team of eight. So we're still small. We're still scrappy. We raised $8 million we closed just at the end of 2022. That was led by H&M. We had participation from a number of different industry groups that are very relevant. And then we hired some more people, but it's still, you know, everyone has the opportunity to get as involved in a certain area of the business as they feel they can contribute to and as they want to contribute to. And I think, you know, for my co-founder and I, it's now we both are still very active in the everyday aspects of the business. We're also, you know, building our future forward vision, what's coming next, and having our eyes on the horizon and making sure that our team is very empowered in taking the correct actions on a day-to-day manner.
Well, there's so many things that you have accomplished. Alyssa Beyer-Lenz, we talked to today, and we really appreciate your story as an entrepreneur coming out of Chapman with 2 degrees. Thank you so much for your time today, and thanks for sharing with our listeners and with our students all the many things that you're up to, that you have done, and that you will do in the future. All the best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi there, Dean Henrik Kronqvist here. Before we go, I want to give a very special thanks to Chapman University alumni and MBA, Caroline Reebok, who produces this podcast, and Arduous alumni, Lauren Belzer, who is our social media and communications manager. If you want to watch this conversation on YouTube, we'll include the link in the description of this episode. You can also keep up with us on social media at Chapman Arduous. New episodes of the Campus to Career series air every month. We've got a lot of great talks coming soon, so be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening to this now. See you next time.